Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Silicon Valley and author of the new book, How to American, Jimmy O. Yang. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, a call from Coach Tony Bennett after Virginia's historic defeat, and another round of Sweet 16 action of March Gradness. And now, don't mention brackets to him if you're not prepared for a 20-minute lecture on floor-joist hangers. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Just be joist hangers. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We love that you share. And I want to thank folks like Marcia Clark Investigates. First 48 series premieres this Thursday, March 29th, 9 o'clock. A&E is where you find it. Castrol, tweet us your questions, adamcarollashow.com. Good day, Gina Graham.
Good day to you.
And Ball Brian.
I love you, man.
the reason it's just a joist hanger is
more
because
put the coffee on.
There is no difference, thinking about it. There's no difference between a joist hanger that you would use for a floor joist and a joist hanger you would use for a ceiling joist. They're just joist hangers. Now, you have joist above you. Mm-hmm. That's your ceiling. Rafters are what actually people get rafters and ceiling and roof kind of screwed up. The rafters are what goes up to create the pitch of the roof.
There's joists under the floor, too, in most places.
You would, in any place that has a raised foundation, does not have a slab on grade, you're walking on floor joists.
Stepping on the dirt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay, sure.
And then above you is the ceiling. So the joist hangers, which are U-shaped, could hang the ceiling joist, and it could hang the floor joist.
This is amazing!
Okay. Thus, just joist hangers.
Interesting that that is brought up, because I spent a lot of my morning looking at the instructions for building a shed on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through all the tools and the steps just, you know, online on their thing. And I was reading about that stuff. And I'm thinking about trying to do it on my own, but I'm incredibly worried about doing it wrong and wasting so much time for something I could probably pay somebody $200 to do.
Well, I'm really getting interested.
Next hour, we're getting some hot ridge rafter talk versus purlins.
Can't wait.
A lot of people don't know what purlins are.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, so there's that thing in life all the time, which is I believe that not doing for yourself creates a general low grade dissatisfaction.
Meaning what?
It's the more
when you crowdsource the problem.
Yeah, well, you take cooking. Mm-hmm. You and your wife can afford to send out and take out,
okay,
and you do, but I think there's something we can all agree upon that everyone in the kitchen, you're chopping, she's flambéing, you know, at a certain point, the kids get involved, mm-hmm. you tell them, you chop this up, you take them to the farmer's market, we're going to pick out the right avocado that we can eat tonight with our, because we're doing fish tacos.
You just unwittingly described our Saturday night. We did pizza night at home with Tessa, just the three of us. We could have gone out. we could have the babysitter. Was like, no, let's have a little night in. We'll have pizza, test out a few bites. You know, she can only do so much. But we made a homemade pizza. It was awesome.
Amateur. She can only do so much.
That's
pizza.
True. I really should have come down harder on her.
It is. So now you get to this crossroads, which is you would, in the past, every night was pizza night and every night was at home because it was go out and slaughter the cow or the pigs that you're making the sausage and the meatballs out of. Like, I mean, every night was home cooking night and every morning was churn some butter or go milk some cow. So, I mean, we were hands on.
That was the only
there.
Way. Yeah.
No other way. Now, there's instant everything. Mm-hmm. Depending on what bracket you get to. Speaking of brackets, we'll get to Gina Grad's
March
trials,
Gradness.
March Gradness.
Things are heating up.
And Coach Tony Bennett, after the big loss, is going to be calling in as well. But depending on where you're at from a tax bracket, you can farm out everything.
Yeah,
you can have a full-time cook. You can have a nanny. You can have instant everything. Just tear rip it off the pouch, dump it in a bowl, put a little water in it, throw it in the microwave, breakfast.
Or even the days of Postmates and, you know, what?
Have Panera bring over whatever it is you crave every single morning. So, and have anyone and everyone fix your car, mend your, patch your roof, paint your guest bedroom, paint. You got twins arriving in 6 months. We need a blue bedroom and a pink bedroom. Good. Find some Mexicans at Home Depot, give them some money and tell them to do it. So then the question now is how much of that needs to be farmed out? And now we're at a crossroads.
Right.
Because my strong belief.
It all can be quite easily.
If you're in a certain tax bracket. Mm-hmm. If not, then there's certain requirements. Right. But if you can, and most people are getting to that day because, you know, when they tell you, I don't know, somebody sent me a tweet the other day, but I said, you know, never a better time to be poor. I believe 30 years ago, if you wanted to get a good vacuum cleaner, it was 10 and a half hours of work.
Oh, sure.
And now it's 2.5 hours work. So it's just, you can get things more easily. You can travel. You can eat out. You can do whatever. So now you have to say to yourself, what shall I impose on myself? Because now you're imposing stuff on yourself. And people who don't think clearly think, impose as little as possible, as much work as can be performed by others, whether it's yard work or cooking or preparation or whatever that is, get it all into someone else's lap, because it doesn't sound fantastic to mow your own lawn. It doesn't sound fantastic to clean your own rain gutters. And it doesn't sound fantastic to many people to make their own pizza dough.
Yeah.
Especially when others can do it, and others can do it better than you can do it.
Indeed.
And they can do it at a cheaper price when you start factoring in travel and marketing and time and everything else.
Yep.
So now there's nothing on paper that would suggest you should be doing this for yourself. Just like there may be nothing on paper that would suggest Dawson should be building his own gazebo to smoke out in without the prying eyes of the neighbors. But now we have to ask ourselves, what do you get out of doing it yourself other than a storage shed? What do you get? What other benefit is there to you to building your own storage shed that does not involve the storage shed?
I would say the accomplishment of getting it done, but it's not like designing and building it out of wood. It's a prefab. I'm following IKEA instructions.
Pop up.
Probably take me 3 times as long to pay somebody. But is it the two now for me? Is it worth the money to pay somebody to do it?
I think if there's a if you think
I got a Saturday and two friends.
If you can
I love that country song.
I'm thinking of a song right there.
If you feel like there's some sense of anything of psychological benefit that you can mine out of it, then I would do it. Look. I get stuff from IKEA all the time. I take it, I hand it to the guy at the shop, and I go build it and bring it to my house. Because me building stuff with an Allen wrench doesn't bring me satisfaction. But I don't farm out building my kids' beds, because not only do I want the satisfaction, I want them to know I didn't farm that one out.
I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these are the two categories you break it down into, whether you should do it yourself or farm it out. Something you really, really love and something you really, really fear.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else, somebody else can do it. It's a zero. It's neither here nor there. But if it's like, I love cooking. Yes, it's usually more expensive than eating out because of the kind of stuff I buy. Or yes, it takes more time. But I love doing it. It's very therapeutic. I love the end product. I love feeding people. And stuff I like when I started shooting, when I was, you know, at the gun range all the time, it's because I was terrified of guns. So I had to do it.
Yeah.
So I think maybe those two categories are the ones
I think it's
focus
good criteria.
On.
I had this thought as one of my yardsticks I like to measure life with, as we always talk about, the little indicators that mean everything, but people don't really think of them that much. When the signs out front of the fire department start going up, which is, hey, drop your baby off here. Yeah. You won't be judged. Like, yeah. I don't think that
safe
existed in the
zone.
50s, yeah. And it doesn't exist in Montana. It's an LA thing, and it's sad that it's come to that. But obviously, someone thought, we need a sign because too many kids are being thrown in dumpsters behind Pizza Hut. So, okay, bad sign. I always say the sign at the beach is bad because the sign of what can't you do and what you're not permitted to do on the beach keeps growing every single year to the point where we're now arguing over like frisbee free zones and football free zones and things like that. One thing that I used to see as a fixture of every beach trip that I ever took as a kid versus what I seem to see now, sandcastles. People built sandcastles when I was a kid. Invariably, there was a group of people, led by a dude. Some of them getting really elaborate.
Oh, yeah.
Others pretty basic. But you couldn't, if you walk down the beach, there was, you know, you wouldn't make it 150 feet without running into your next sandcastle. Right. And if you took a long enough walk around down to the pier and back, you'd spot 25 sandcastles in the making.
If you did it right, you dig a little estuary from the ocean so it can run in a bit of moat. Exactly.
So think about the concept of a sandcastle. Well, first, it involves effort and movement and digging and a little sweat. It's not you staring at your phone on the towel. Also, there is no Grubhub for sandcastles. Although, write this down. There's a new. There's a new
sand hub.
A new
sandmates.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're just going to bring you a self-esteem builder for little Dakota. We bring you. And we have all the famous architects all the different series, and they just bring it by and they drop it off, and your kid gets to put a little flag on top of it. And then little Dakota can feel great about himself.
Dakota's a him?
It's a him.
Oh, wow. We've come a long way.
What you just said was a hate crime.
Where have I been?
So here's the thing. I don't see so many sandcastles. I don't see any sandcastles. The reason I don't see any sandcastles is because that was a little sweat equity.
Yeah.
And the tide would always destroy it.
Yeah, by nature, it's meant to be destroyed.
It was all about the activity, and and the payday was you got to look at it. Not even take a picture of
it.
Just take a picture of it with your brain, and then go home and watch the tide destroy it.
Not when film costs something. You're not going to waste a picture on that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we didn't even have a camera, so... Think about sandcastles and think about why we're not building sandcastles and what has changed. Well, part of it is, you know, there's contaminants in that sand. You really shouldn't even be barefoot on there. Like, there's a lot of pussies talking about what you shouldn't be doing with sand. Certainly digging is, no.
Insane. That's a waste of my time.
And number two, it's considered a waste of time. Now, has this thought led to happiness? I do not think so.
I can't imagine.
It leads to a kind of a weird uncomfortableness in your own skin when you're not physically out doing something.
Accessy.
And thus, I'm a big fan of going out and doing something. So please get into that.
Speaking of waste of time and all the contaminants in the sand, if sandcastles are almost all the way out, how much more out must burying someone in the sand be? Like, when was the last time some kid got buried in the sand?
No.
Does that still happen? I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah. It's not going to happen. That's also, it's a hate crime and it's bullying it's everything else. Leads to teabagging.
What doesn't?
All roads lead to teabagging. All right. So, Coach Tony Bennett, after the huge, this is such a historical loss.
The only number one seed to ever lose in the men's tournament.
And by 20 points. And when I was on... I was in the gym Friday night, and just a stranger ran up to me and went like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I was like, eh. And he's like, the biggest upset ever. And I was like, can it be the biggest? I didn't know anything about it at the time.
Well, in as much as it's never happened before, yeah. You know, four times every year it's been happening.
And you
gone
look,
on.
And you look on Twitter, and people who have never mentioned sports, not basketball, no sport ever, you know, female comedians mm-hmm. or rock stars or whatever, everyone's talking about this. This is like in the zeitgeist now.
Yes. All right. So we'll play a couple of clips to set the table. First, I'll tell you about Marcia Clark Investigates the First 48. New original docu-series premieres Tuesday, March 29th, 9 p.m. on A&E. Marcia Clark delves into some of America's most shocking unsolved crimes or controversial verdicts. Be prepared to have your earth turned upside down, Gina Grad.
I can't wait.
Each two-hour episodes explores the difference. Investigations taking an in-depth look at the First 48 after the crime is uncovered, and new revelations, new angles. Controversial murder cases include Casey Anthony. Oh, yeah. Her daughter. Remember Kaylee? Yep. And Chandra Levy. Remember her? And Robert Blake's wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley. Right by that Vitello's is the restaurant across the street from the old Acme Theater where we used to hand out flyers.
In North Hollywood?
Yeah, North Hollywood. On Tahunga. Yeah. Well, it's almost Studio City.
Oh, wow.
You want to go see a show later? Christ, I've had enough of you.
DMC's Jam Master Jay and Drew Peterson's wife, Stacy. Let's not forget about that. Thursday, March 29th at 9 p.m. on A&E. All right. Let's have some clips. Max Petta, upgrade my screen, please. No. Okay. Continue. All right. So we play some of the and get rid of the top of the screen is what I'm saying. So we'll just play some snippets of the loss.
Shock and awe. As Tony Bennett and company going home early, the top overall seed loses to a 16 for the first time in men's tournament history.
Is Tony online too?
Yeah, I was holding up the two. Oh, okay. I was just screening it.
Sorry. Coach Tony Bennett?
Hello, Adam Carolla. How are you, sir?
Yeah, sorry about the big loss.
When you're alone, who cares for a moonlit sky?
It sounds like he's taking it all right, honestly.
It's got
to
be.
I'm not taking it all right, Brian. I would love to know who the hell is Lyle and who didn't put a body. I'm brokenhearted because these are good young men. They're all 26 years old. And, hey, we lost to a better team, and that, of course, is the University of Maryland, Baltimore country.
I think it's county. Either way.
Say what now, Adam Carolla? You say either. I say Adam.
Oh, my.
I don't say Arthur. Oh, my goodness.
So, Tony.
You know, they were a 16 seed. And we were a one seed. When you lose by 15, that's witchcraft.
Oh, man.
Witchcraft. Tony, again, the idea that you were even doing this interview with us today after such a devastating loss, we want to thank you. And the fact that you seem to be in good spirits and you're able to even make some jokes and sing a few jingles along the way.
Yeah.
That's sportsmanship.
I haven't made one joke. I'm not doing very well. In fact, I'm currently in Thailand practicing autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh, wow. You and David Carradine.
What a way to go. When you give it that last shot, I'm a little intoxicated, Adam Carolla, but it's unacceptable what happened. We're a proud, proud Virginia Cavalier basketball team. And I, of course, had a heart attack on the court, and that's how they repay me. I swear to God, Uncle Lamar, you're going to take a trip on a train because you're not going to be here next year. You can't read without moving your lip.
So,
you only imagine what the timeouts are like. He's drawn a place.
Coach Tony Bennett,
my goodness.
You were tied at halftime.
I do wear a tie when I coach. You have to be a gentleman.
Yeah, but you were tied at halftime with the team, and can you tell us what you told your team in the locker room so all coaches know not to tell their team whatever it is you told your team, because then you came out and lost by 20 points.
Okay, well, I thought it was 15 because they were a 16, we were a 1. All right. I'll tell you what I told them at halftime out of Corolla. I got them all together. All right. First, I had to find my Italian hair dryer. And I said to them, what's happening? What are you doing? You're making me look like a motherfucking fool. I can't deliver a win in my own goddamn neighborhood. I maybe lost my temper because I was in Charlotte and winning Virginia. That's a home game to what? But they don't fucking care. That's why I'm in Thailand hanging from a belt.
Wow, you're in Thailand hanging from a belt right now?
It was a fucking home game, Adam Carolla. We had them by the ball. Nobody knows who these guys are. University of Baltimore, Country, Maryland. Or I just think maybe some guys around the arm over there not really doing due diligence, making sure they pass their test. But I'll tell you where it ran aground. And where I made a mistake is Tony Bennett, head coach. And I don't make many, baby.
Gotcha.
You know where I made my mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. The pick line, back line defense, it's slow, baby. And it's methodical. And they just put their dick in it when I stuck to it.
Technical term.
They used my defense against me, Adam.
Yeah,
and no, I don't understand how you can do it.
Tony, let me play the third clip. Let's hear what CBS's Nick Costos had to say about your...
You know,
your
first record was from CBS in 1908.
Let's just hear what he had to say about your legacy.
Concerned, you know, the big knock on Tony Bennett. Now, Reid, as far as Tony Bennett and Virginia are concerned, you know, the big knock on Tony Bennett, much like Sean Miller at Arizona, can't get over the hump, can't get this team to the Final Four. Now this, losing to a 16 seed. How does Tony Bennett shake this off here and get this stink off of him? I mean, is it anything short of a national championship? Because this is going to follow Tony
all
Bennett
right.
around, and
yep.
no one's going to...
All right, so Tony,
really piling on.
You hear
First
this guy.
Of all, the stink that he smells is Honey Mari cologne combined with his sister's ass.
Wow.
Wow.
Who is this guy? I mean, I coach Virginia Cavalier baseball. We've been a number one seed basketball, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm pretty drunk, stage. Adam.
Hmm.
I coach Virginia Cavalier basketball, and we've been a number one seed 4 years running, and that guy sounds like a lesbian. So, say it again, Adam.
No,
the most shocking thing isn't the upset.
Like a lady.
It's here, and Tony Bennett works on Blue. I've always known this family friendly, yeah. you know.
Well, he's upset. I mean, this is a big loss.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was, thank you. That was a big loss. A big loss. Hey, let me hear that young flannel shirt, New York Liberty watching. Person again.
You want to hear it again? All right. I'll play it again for
you.
As far as Tony Bennett and Virginia are concerned, you know, the big knock on Tony Bennett, much like Sean Miller at Arizona, can't get over the hump, can't get this team to the Final Four. Now this, losing to a 16 seed. How does Tony Bennett shake this off here and get this stink off of him? I mean, is it anything short of a national championship? Because this is...
All right.
Well, he does have an excellent point because University of Country, Maryland, Baltimore, they were a very smelly team, Adam Carolla.
Oh, my gosh.
Part of their offense.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Luck be a lady tonight. And Luck was a lady. In fact, she was a girlfriend, experienced escort to Jarius Miles. 22 points. Oh, my God.
Tony, we appreciate you carving out time for us. I know this
the
is a devastating loss and you being in Thailand and having the belt around your neck
he
and everything.
You must have gotten out of town very quickly to get to Thailand.
Who could blame him?
Yeah, by now.
Tony, I want to tell you about...
when you lose to a 16 seed, there's only one thing to do, and that's admit to the good Lord that he's going to take you just in time.
God. He's a man
you
of man's
You took
age.
Me just in time.
Tony, a good friend of ours is named Jay Moore. He has a podcast.
He's a fucking mutt.
All right. Well, he's a good friend of ours, and he has a podcast called More Stories, and he's a big fan of yours. So I just want to give a plug out there for him. That's Mondays on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Yes, Tony.
Well, then he's a fine young man. I just can't believe we lost to a bunch of guys that couldn't jump over a credit card. I don't get it. I'm bewitched, bothered, and bewitched. Oh, Bo Bryan, this one's for you.
Hey, buddy.
You don't have hair on the top of your head, but I don't mind. Because it's like she said, you got a donkey dick, Johnny. It's okay, everybody. I'm drunk. I won't be back.
The Tony Bennett, everyone.
That's to say.
Also, Moore, our friend Jay Moore, also other podcasts, America's Lakers podcast. Check that out Wednesdays on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. And shoot him a tweet at Jay Moore 37. So the great Tony Bennett.
Wow.
After a tough loss.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he's showing his face, let alone, you know, being so forthcoming with what he's up to.
Well, all hail Mike August, because after this coach had that loss, I said, we got to get him on.
It's a big get.
And
good
get. He's like, he's in Thailand. And I said, well, let's do a phone.
Phones in Thailand?
Got phones. Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. Let's see. Gina Grad.
Yes.
You had a story about Wendy's training video.
Yeah, I went down a real black hole on the internet the other night, and I came across something that both terrified and delighted me. When we talk about commercials being indicators of the time, mm-hmm. somebody posted a Wendy's industrial training video for Wendy's employees from the 80s, and I've probably watched it 5 times. Mm. And I really...
You're an expert at how to run a Wendy's?
You have to sort of move the cup to the side when you put it up to the fountain. I couldn't stop watching it, and I'd love to get your take on it.
Well, I shall, because as I haven't brought up in a while, I had to watch one of these training videos in the basement of the now defunct McDonald's in Studio City.
Oh, this is going to hit home.
Okay.
Here we go.
We're watching it. Oh.
Drinks. Cold. Are you ready? Here we go. Soft drinks, lemonade, water, cold tea. It's up to you. It's up to me. Cold drinks come in 4 cups. Gotta know the size before you fill it up. Biggie, medium, small, kids meal. Keep it straight. It's a good deal. Use the scoop to fill with ice. Never use the cup. Take my advice. Mm. Soft drinks fill the ice halfway. No matter the size, that's what I say. Tilt the cup and push against the lever. Keeps the foam down now. Isn't that clever? If there's still foam, let it settle down. Don't pour it off or your boss will frown. When you reach a quarter inch from the top, that's where you want to stop. If the customers say they want to stay, put the drink on the left-hand side of the tray. Oh. The order's to go, put the lid on tight. Make sure it pops to do it right. Then hand that drink to the coordinator and tell the guest you'll see him later.
Wow.
Yeah, she's going to break it down, take it to the bridge.
I'm mesmerized by this high-waisted goddess.
Focusing specifically on drinks.
This is all drink.
Yeah. Drink-based.
For lemonade, things stay the same. Half full with ice. I said it again. Fill the juice to a quarter inch from the top. Just like you did the pop. Water is a courtesy to our guests. Use a small cup. You know the rest. Now it's time to serve cold tea. But the ice is different. Listen carefully.
Really?
Instead of half full, fill it all the way up to the top of the cup. Add the tea. And if they ask for lemon, put it here. Now that's a given. Cold drinks, that's all there is to it. Go ahead and try. I know you can do it.
Is that because the tea was served hot back in the day? It looked like it was in a separate
draft. Oh, yeah, maybe so. Dawson loved it.
Ice tea is brewed hot, so all restaurants have to put a lot more ice.
That was entertaining and informative.
Very. Yes. Did that bring back memories? Did you know all of those things in advance?
Our training videos were not nearly as entertaining as that at McDonald's.
Okay.
And I only remember watching one. I remember going into the basement where they had like the washer, dryer, and the uniforms.
Depressing.
Yeah, like you go in through the side door, you walk around the back, and there's a set of stairs, and that's where they keep the uniforms and like the lockers, and somebody's got an office. There's no more depressing office than restaurant office, because they never have windows.
Yeah, it's like a broom closet, right?
Yeah, like if you're
piled up.
If your office has a floor drain, that's you have not arrived by any stretch of the imagination. You may have your own office, but there's a drain in the middle of it, and that's never a good thing.
Well, you know.
So,
ooh,
yeah,
rich man, poor. I'm thinking like I'm thinking,
do rich men
I'm
have
thinking,
drains in their office?
I'm thinking of like Sicario when like the top CIA agents came to like torment and torture the poor guy with like waterboarding drain in their office.
I don't think they waterboard him in their office. But you know, super well to do monkey.
Can we hear that song again in the bit just underneath a little bit? Because I think I found a double. I think I found the inspiration for that.
Oh,
song.
By the way. Look, they either ripped off Paula Abdul or Paula Abdul ripped them off.
Because I imagine Wendy's ripped up Paula.
Doss will fit in and out.
Feel it to the top. See you later.
Are you ready? Here we go. Soft drinks, lemonade.
What year's this versus this? But look.
That's the nose.
If they ripped off Paula Abdul, it still means Paula Abdul's horrible.
Right. Meal, keep it straight. It's a good deal. Use the scoop to fill with ice. Never use the cup. Ryan and Dawson on the ones and twos.
I don't know what you like better or worse. Or
well, one's more informative. Keep the phone down now. Isn't that clever? Yeah.
Good. I was, see if we can find out what years each one was from.
Straight up is from 88. I mean, I have no idea.
All right. So, anyway. I was yelling. All right. So much to talk about. Find Prince's Bat Dance.
No,
don't play it.
Must we?
Don't play it. And also find What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding by Elvis Costello, because I will explain to you something in a second. Ooh. I went down to the basement and they popped this tape in and I watched the tape at the McDonald's in the basement of Studio City that I worked in. And there wasn't I don't remember a lot of training stuff. Ken, my manager, sort of trained me on the spot about the reaching into the freezer, right, pulling the burgers out, stacking them on the grill, hit the button. Moments later, the sear light goes off, like ding, 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 and then you hit it, and then you sear everything. And then moments later, the flip buzzer goes off, and then you flip them, and then the sear thing goes off again, and then there's like add the onions, and then another button, like ding, 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 when it's off, you start pulling them all off, like everything's just on a timer. But I do remember the only part, and maybe it's because there was a comedic side to it, and I remember the comedic takes or angles or something, because I probably went home and then reported it to my lifeless father. It's like, hey, here's a funny take on this, or one of my lifeless Dumbo friends from the valley about it, and I'll just sit there with the heads like Easter Island. But the only thing I remember from the video was, if there's a situation where somebody's trying to rob this place, that's what I remember clearly. And I remember clearly because I formed a comedic thought when I was 15 and a half. And it showed the guys running in with the assault rifles and like yelling at everyone, you know, get down, get down, give us a cash register, open the register. You know, like, what if this happens? How shall you react? And the answer, according to the training video, was comply 100% and don't be a hero. And I remember thinking, I'm getting $2.44 an hour. You think I'm going over the counter, like yelling, not on my watch, and tackling the member of Al-Qaeda down to the ground?
This McDonald's is too important to me to let it be knocked out.
Right. I've been here 4 days, and this is not going to happen on my watch.
That's right.
And this notion $2.50 an hour, and by the way, I hate this place more than you, and you're robbing it. And then I had this further comedic thought, which was, the only time I'm going over the counter is to yell, take me with you. Like when you guys
share your winnings,
when you jump back into the primered van and head to the seedy part of town. I'd like to join this group. Anything better than me and Ken standing here making burgers for $2.42 an hour. So those are all my sort of comedic thoughts as I was watching the video. And I guess I remember them because I probably shared them with people. But the video had, I don't know, how to dress and how to greet people. And one of them was the takeover robbery scenario. I was sitting around. You guys tell me how this works, but I was sitting in my warehouse yesterday, staring at my cars, drinking a beer, and I had Spotify, and it was like 80s hits or something on Spotify. Very hit and miss. And at a certain point, Prince's Bat Dance came on, and not a fan of Prince, not a fan of his work.
This does not represent the best of Prince.
No. Understand?
It's a payday.
He's a genius. He's a musical genius who makes music that I hate and whose songs don't hold up at all, but people feel very fondly about him. Now, this song came on, and I listened to it for a little while just out of, like, morbid curiosity. Like, and then the answer is always like this. Oh, no, this is a payday. Yeah. He's just getting paid. He's getting paid. Okay, next time you get paid, Hans Zimmer gets paid, doesn't he? Make a good song.
Not a lot of compromising.
Who did the theme from Gladiator?
Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yeah, there
okay,
you go.
Did he get paid? Yes. Is it a good song? Yes, it is. Okay. Well, next time you get paid, whether you're building a master bedroom addition on someone's house or you're doing a song for a movie, how about you create a decent product while you're getting paid? And then it'll be.
I don't want to show your point, but the producer of this whole album is Hans Zimmer.
I was almost with you.
You're well.
All right, so this is what's wrong with Prince in my mind. Everything's just bad 80s dated,
and,
whatever.
And it's 6 minutes long.
Oh, good. Too short.
Now, again,
this was he
didn't do anything. I think he just told someone to go in the studio and, like, just screw around, right?
This was done as the closing credits for the Michael Keaton Batman movie, right?
The whole album was the de facto
the
soundtrack.
Cartoonish, right. Yeah.
All right, so I don't like Prince in general, but now I learned to hate him a little more after remembering this song. But on the same Spotify, it's his fourth number one single? Ugh, you can't convince me that people aren't dumb. They're just dumb. They just hear Prince, right? Like, nobody likes that song. Nobody goes, oh, it's a fantastic song. Who does this?
It's not even really a song.
It's not even anything. Mm-hmm. All right, so that was number one. Awesome. The next song that comes on is Elvis Costello. I love this song. And so, of course, I turned. It wasn't the next song that came on. I fast-forwarded to this song because I had 2 minutes of the Batuzzi, and I was ready to move on. And this song came on. I was like, oh, great. Great palate cleanser of art here.
I'm back.
And then I got angry.
Oh, no. Why?
I don't know who programs this Spotify. I don't know if anyone programs it. But there is no such thing as someone who likes both of these songs.
Yeah.
If you like Bat Dance, you're a fucking full tard who's brain dead, Cherry Schiavo has better taste in music than you do if you like Bat Dance. If you like Bat Dance, you don't like music. You don't like anything. You don't like life. You don't like love. You don't like art. You don't like your own fucking parents. You don't fear God.
What's that,
there's
Jerry?
Something wrong
Turn
with
it
you.
Off.
There's something wrong with you if you like that musically. It's not a, oh, well, he's got that opinion. I got this opinion. With a little, hey, different strokes. No, you're fucking full tard who knows nothing. You know nothing. You shouldn't be able to vote in local elections. You should not have a vote for anything ever if you like that song. And if you like this song, you're fucking genius.
I guess they both fit the criteria of 80s hits, but that's the loosest criteria. Yeah.
But if you're putting this thing together, you have to know that either you would be wildly devastated by hearing the Bat Dance after this song or before it, and you would hate it, or conversely, if you escape from a mental institute and you thought Bat Dance was a great song, you couldn't possibly appreciate this song.
Right.
Maybe Bat Dance only as a, like, kitschy guilty pleasure. Like, oh, remember how bad this was? Ha ha ha.
But then people,
that's not why you're listening to this.
That's
stuff.
Why you're not listening to this, though. So why? Who puts the, is it an algorithm put together by a computer, or is there someone I can yell at?
You can yell at a computer.
I dedicated, I was on Stern Show a million years ago, and I was like, whoever's doing your 80s station here on Sirius XM, they need to kill themselves. And they're like, why? And it's like, because if I hear people are people, so why should it be? I'm going to fucking kill myself. There's so many good 80s songs. Tell them to start playing some of them. And like, and then at some point they said, yeah, but why can't we just fire him? Like, why should we kill him? And I'm like, all right, well, okay, by your logic, is this fire Mussolini, fire Hitler? Just, hey.
He'll never pop up again.
Bygones be bygones. Yeah. Let's just agree to disagree.
It just didn't work out.
Right.
No, you've done so much damage to this nation.
Crimes against humanity.
Right. That's right. Yeah. You need to be taken to the fucking Hague and gassed.
Yeah, you can't be trusted.
Jesus Christ.
It's fair.
Bothers me, fucking Bat Dance, and not to mention a bunch of Paul Abdul songs and shit popped up, and I was like, ugh.
Did you guys have things in your childhood? I'm guessing, Adam, you did, just by nature of the fact you had three channels to choose from, but things that you wanted to convince yourself was good, but you just never could get on board. Like Batman, I loved the Tim Burton, Michael Keaton Batman. It was a legitimately great movie for my childhood, and I got the soundtrack thinking, oh, this would be great, and it was mostly crappy songs, mostly songs of that nature. Like, there were a couple, like, you know, catchy little ditties, but, and I was like, this is supposed to be good. It's Prince and it's Batman, but I just couldn't. I couldn't get over the hump.
I don't know who my big theory. The thing I'm most curious about is if Prince is a bona fide musical genius, doesn't he know better than all of us how bad that song is as a genius? Because we're all lay people and it hurts our teeth. Why doesn't the genius know? And then if the answer is, well, it's a payday. Mm-hmm. All right. Everybody has stuff that's a payday, but it's still you. It's still your art. It still has your name on it. Like if someone goes, who designed that horrible car? Ah, it's just a payday. But it's like, yeah, but you still want a good car. Yeah. It's rolling around on the street. Yeah. It's got your name on it. Yeah. Like, so everyone does everything as a payday, but you'd like that to be some quality involved.
I agree with every single thing you said. I'll just only offer as a exception, like every artist, every genius who ever lived long enough has an embarrassing phase. Like Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Paul McCartney, they all have their embarrassing moments. So, I mean, maybe genius doesn't recognize their own genius. Like, oh, this is fantastic. I think everything they do is great.
Or are we giving him way too much credit to think that this was a joke that he was in on?
Oh, maybe he's so genius. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to pull this over all the idiots.
In a Trey Parker, Matt Stone kind of way.
I don't think that was it.
Who write much better songs than Prince.
Oh, they do.
Absolutely do.
They absolutely do.
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. You can tweet at Adam Carolla Show with your Castrol Edge and with hashtag Castrol Edge with your questions for Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance 3 times stronger.
Three times, fool.
Against viscosity breakdown, the leading full synthetic. All right, what do we got on this week's challenge?
All right, week's Castrol Challenge is tweeted to us by Divine Sandwich Maker.
Mm-hmm.
My mechanic recommended steam cleaning of my engine. Is it ever a good idea? Hashtag Castrol Challenge.
Steam cleaning the engine.
I would go camping with Divine Sandwich Maker, sight unseen.
Yeah.
I would not have to do a background check. I would not have to do anything other than know his name was Divine Sandwich Maker, and I would accept his invitation to go camping.
Yep.
That's number one.
Number
two,
but also,
I love a clean motor and I hate a messy motor, and I would steam clean my motor and I love it. To me, the motor, it's like the closet. It's like when you go, if you're walking your dog down the street and somebody has their garage door open and you see that they have racks with bins up top, like labeled like ski equipment or whatever, mountain bikes hanging from stuff, and everything seems to be in its place and a place for everything. You don't need to talk to the person or interview the person or discuss what's going on inside the bedroom with the person. You just go, oh, that person's got their shit together.
Yeah,
that's that thing.
You're overcome with admiration.
Right. And when I feel the same with a closet, when the closet is very well done and the engine compartment of a car is your mobile version of that. When somebody's engine compartment is spotless, like when you eat off the engine compartment, I think to myself, wow, they got it together. They got it together. But conversely, when you see a bunch of fast food wrappers on the dash and an old Thomas guide, you think,
water bottle graveyard.
Right. So go ahead and steam clean that.
Can you steam clean your own engine?
Yeah.
Okay.
They, the coin-op car wash, which I enjoy. It's a little blast from the past, but I would say, let me put this challenge out to everybody.
Castrol challenge.
We're getting into this, you know, lifestyle thing here that we're talking about. How about once a year, you forego your washer dryer that lives inside your washroom or your garage or whatever it is, and you fill up your hamper and your basket and your sack and whatever it is, and you march it over to the coin-op laundry, and you sit there. You get all your quarters. Okay. You sit there. You bring your notepad. You got other people from other walks of life busy. The whole place smells warm and a little fluffy with a dusting of Tide, you know. There's
mix of desperation.
Little desperation. You get your little boxes out of the vending machine where you pull the knob instead of push the button. There's something satisfying about yanking that knob. Yeah. And then you just sit there and you do your own laundry. Get a colors one and a whites one going at the same time. And you just open that notebook and you sit on that fiberglass formed chair that you slide into that bucket chair. And you just sit there and you make some notes on what you'd like to do in your life.
You solve the world's problems.
No checking the phone, no checking the scores, no TV, no laptop. Just a little steno pad. Wow. Make your notes.
For some of us, it hasn't been that long. So, yes, I will go back to the coin-op laundry.
Those are 8 long years.
Yeah, that is true. I'm laughing over here because one time when I lived in Mid-City, I was in the laundromat, and a woman comes in and looks at me and looks around to everyone else in the laundromat and says, "Nobody told me it was white boy day at the laundromat."
Dawson is trying to corner the market of drop of the year.
Ace award nomination twice, 3 days.
It's white boy day at the laundromat. Yeah. I used to love it. I would go, I would write my bits, you know, my sketches for the improv troupe. You know, I'd write my little sketches. I'd be sitting in there and you're a hostage. You couldn't go anywhere.
We cut to rehearsal. Oh, another one about laundry, Adam, separating whites and colors.
What's up with Downey? So I'd sit there, and then every once in a while, I'd go to the cork board where they had the tabs with the guy's phone number, where they cut the tabs on the paper. They'd have guys who would help you move. They had some like gardeners, but also they had learn bass guitar. They had some good guitar, some musician stuff, and you could pull the little tab off and have that little fortune cookie. Little flyer in your pocket, and you want to learn some bass guitar, you need some help moving or whatever it was. And I'd like to see what was going on. Sometimes there's a missing dog up on that thing. You kind of got a little vibe what's going on in the community.
Yep.
I eat ass.
That was the weirdest one I saw in a lot of
All right. Also tell you about Simply Safe. I recommend these guys to everyone I know. Let's check it out. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam and check out a great product. All right. Jimmy O. Yang is here, everybody. We love Jimmy. We'll take a break. We'll do some good sports. And we'll do Jimmy O. Yang right after this.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
The reason the book is called and the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material, at the Capitol Theater on April 6th.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
Not Taco Bell Material.
Where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Not Taco Bell Material. Don't miss Adam Carolla at the Capitol Theater in Madison on April 6th. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Of the year, Dave's recapping hockey.
Good sports.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Dameshek here. Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, with NFL free agency afoot, the draft on the way, make sure you check out the Dave Dameshek football program, available on iTunes, NFL.com/DDFP. That's how you do that. Anywho, Ace, how are we? And I wanted to talk some free agency here, but I also have something on the tip of my brain I wanted to confront with you. We do the win, play, show thing here, where mm-hmm. you rank 1, 2, 3 various items, of course. And I thought Kalen behind the glass, his old man has been in a number of big-time feature productions
that
over the
true.
Years.
That is true. Michael Biehn, yeah.
That's right, Michael Biehn. So I wanted to see win, play, show, mm-hmm. Kalen's dad's movies.
Okay.
Here are the four I've selected, I okay. think, that would be in the running.
Mm-hmm.
The Abyss,
mm-hmm.
Tombstone,
mm-hmm.
plays Ringo. You know, gets mm-hmm. gets taken. That's a great. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great scenes of
I'm
the
your
last.
Huckleberry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be your Huckleberry. That really is one of the better scenes in the last 25, 30 years. I think when he shows up, Val Kilmer shows up. Aliens mm-hmm. and Terminator 2. You can choose anything else. We're looking at
Terminator
it right now
1.
Here in the studio. I mean, Terminator 1. Yes, yes.
All right. You know,
this is an interesting list from Ace, because you don't love the sci-fi the way I do.
I love Terminator. I love The Rock, and I don't say that The Rock is a better movie than Tombstone or Alien or Terminator or whatever, but that movie is just sort of
Rock too.
That's the caramel corn of life for me. Like, it's not nutritious. It's not a real meal. It's not really anything other than you can't stop shoveling it into your mouth. You know what I mean? Like, I've never opened a box of Cracker Jacks and went, well, I'm about halfway in, so that's it for today.
Oh, it's such a perfect storm.
I'm not done until I'm hitting the bottom of the box while it's turned over on my big fat face, you know, like, just trying to get dust.
But between Nick Cage bouncing off of Connery and Ed Harris doing the serious stuff, and that guy who's been in so many movies, whose name he's the character actor,
yes,
with the mustache, I can't think of what that guy's name is, but he's in the nerve center back in San Francisco,
yes,
and he uses the line that is featured in roughly half of the movies that have been.
He has a great name. He is
you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Wiseman. He's got a name. His name's like a movie star.
He issues the line that if that happens, God help us all.
Yeah,
a lot of God help us there's all a, in there, those.
That movie's great because there's
is that
this.
Is that William Forsythe?
Forsythe. Yeah, it's William Forsythe.
Really, the guy with the space in his teeth.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay.
That's William Forsythe. He plays gangsters.
Yeah,
a
that's
lot.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
There's a couple things in that movie. First off, I think it has the standing record for times the phrase "stand down" has been yelled at another man. Because every third piece of dialogue was "you stand down, stand down, stand down." Everyone's yelling "stand down" at each other. Any movie where they yell "stand down," I'm in.
Crimson Tide, conversely, has a lot of Denzel and Hackman yelling, "I got the con!" You
right.
know, a lot of who's got the con talk.
Any
in
that's
that one,
good.
But, yes.
I like that. I like any time this phrase is uttered. We spilt the same blood in the same mud. Oh man! When you spill the same blood in the same mud. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, my favorite is cops and FBI agents and local officers versus county officers versus state arguing about whose crime scene it is.
Yeah, whose jurisdiction.
As though anybody, any cop would actually care. Like, wait a minute, I want all this extra work
more
on my
paperwork
plate.
For me.
Let me do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my argument would be quite different, which is I think this falls under the heading of your jurisdiction.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, though, like I know it happened in my jurisdiction, but aren't we in your state overall? So maybe you should take it, state trooper.
Well, I don't want to get all gerrymandering on you, but this is a county, and so technically I am employed by the county. I'm not a state employee. So
it's a state, and it's only one out of 50, and if we're living here in
the 50 states, maybe this should be a federal matter. Hey,
it's
Mr.
Not
FBI.
In my jurisdiction, and I want to go to Arby's. Do you want a sandwich?
Well,
because you're going to be working this case.
Yeah, I know, but this is uncomfortable because I'm already in Arby's when we're talking.
Would you like to borrow my chalk so you can outline the body? Because that's something I've seen on TV.
It's too late. I already just put in an order for you for an RB of your own there.
That is your body, so if you want to use the chalk, just say the word. Yeah, I don't know why you're arguing for more work. You're right.
That's the best. But anyway, so okay.
The Bean movies, yeah.
Go ahead. The Bean pictures. This is it. Are you going to tell your old man about this, Kalen?
Yeah, sure.
Why don't you weigh in first? That's interesting. How do you regard the old man? Like they always say, Ace, what do your kids think of you? I love when celebrity Adam Carolla talks about how his little ones regard his massive celebrity. They just see me as dad.
Well, obviously my greatest role is that of a dad. My kids are not interested. They're over it. And Sonny, they're still at that point. They know I was a horrible student. And so they equate horrible student with stupid because that's all you did from first grade to about a year out of high school. You would literally just go, oh, don't sit next to that kid. That kid's stupid.
Not like, as a yardstick. Neither one of them seizes on the opportunity to say, hey, look, worked out for dad, okay? Why do I have to study? Shouldn't that be the
that
angle?
That should be the angle. All right.
What's your favorite?
What I normally say is that I got a favorite movie, a favorite role, and then a favorite scene.
So then
my favorite movie of his is Aliens. Mm-hmm. Big sci-fi guy. My favorite role, Johnny Ringo. Mm-hmm. And favorite scene, aforementioned, The Rock. It is epic.
The Rock. Stand down.
Stand fast, to be precise.
Oh, stand fast?
Stand fast.
Oh, but there had to be some stand downing
going on as well. He gets killed in that shower, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's where the Ed Harris guys are up high in the shower, and then Michael Biehn and company are down low, and they all get shot.
Correct. Yeah. It's a lot when he's telling them to stand down. Now, Ed Harris is telling his guys to stand fast and then probably telling your dad to stand down. But I like the part where your dad said, you know, he can't do that. I like the you know, like when my like the next time my wife says, hey, when we go to events, curtail the drinking a little bit. You're embarrassing yourself. And I'll go, you know, I can't do that. If you just go, I can't do that, they'd go, why not? But if you go, you know I can't do that, then it's like, oh, okay, that's a stupid request.
What is it like to watch your old man in a movie get taken out? That's got to be weird.
It was very sad when I was a child, and he would constantly die in every movie I watched.
But you liked the Johnny Ringo scene,
I was very upset the first time that I watched that as a little boy.
What a weird thing to see.
He dies in pretty much every movie, but as the years go on, it's kind of even better that he dies in them.
I think you got to go Terminator, Aliens, Rock. I mean, in terms
that's
of
that's the order you're going to go in? Yeah. I say, I even left The Rock off. You know what? I'm going to go with a sneaky play here, just pure movie. Well, Terminator's one, but two, I mean, Aliens is right there. Boy, that's a dynamite. You could make a case in the history of sequels as a sequel being better than the original, that one takes a real run at it. Terminator 2, actually, though, even better than Terminator.
Yeah, while we're on that subject. With the Terminator and Aliens.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, Kalen. Good stuff, Ace. We'll be back. Now, we really, absolutely, positively will talk NFL free agency on tomorrow's Good Sports. Till then, Podcast One Sports for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek. Out!